been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone from Las Vegas. And, well, before we get to Pastor Crone, I just want to comment certainly Radio Liberty has some regular guests here. Pastor Crone is one of them, but we have probably four or five that are heard every single week. Joel Skousen, Pastor Cuddy, and certainly Dr. Cuddy, William Grigg. But one of the frequent guests is Barry Shamis. And Barry is not a believer. He's a Jewish. He's an investigative reporter, but has fascinating information on Israel, and certainly I feel very close to him, having had him on almost once a week for the last almost 10 years. Well, of course, Barry's had some illness recently. He called me at 1 o'clock yesterday, I guess it was this morning, his time, and he was going into surgery. He was going to have a bypass in his leg, and it was almost as if he was going to be saying goodbye to me, as if he didn't know whether he'd be talking to me again, but he was waiting then. 1 o'clock in the morning, he'd be going to surgery at 8 this morning. And, I told him I was going to pray for him, and I was going to ask our listeners to pray for him. And basically, even though he doesn't believe in prayer, why, of course, I think he was grateful to know that at least we were thinking of him. So think of Barry Shamish if you have a chance. Why, say a prayer for him that he'll come through this surgery well. And now let's get to our special guest for this evening, Pastor Billy Crone. Thank you, Pastor Billy, for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. We'll certainly keep Barry in our prayers as well.
Well, what are we going to be talking about this evening?
Well, tonight I'd like to deal with the issue of falsehood, the rise of falsehood, and as yet another sign that, we're living the last days. And, of course, the Scripture is very clear about that. Jesus mentions this. In fact, it was the very first thing that he mentioned when his disciples came to him and says, hey, tell us, what's going to be the sign of your coming and what can we expect? And the first thing he says is, watch out that nobody deceives you. And he goes on and on in that passage of Matthew 24, and he says, you read through it, he talks about deceit, 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 false teachers, false prophets, deceit, deceit. And he says, hey, listen, see, I told you ahead of time. He's telling you, there's no excuse for you to get caught off guard. I'm telling you these things in advance. And then Peter picks up on the same thing in the New Testament, and he warns the church even. He says, listen, there were false prophets, back in the Old Testament time, trying to filter their way in. He says, just as there will be in the future false teachers among you. And so another characteristic that we know that we're living in the last days is not only, of course, mentioning, of course, the Jewish people, what's going on with them, and modern technology, and the increase of earthquakes, and famines, and pestilence, and wars, and strange things going on sky and plague-like activity and all that stuff, and there's false Christ and false teachers, but there's false prophets, and boy, are there all kinds of false prophets today, Dr. Monteith, and they're not just in the world, they are even, unfortunately, creeping into the church, and one of them that I'd like to deal with tonight is probably, to me, one of the biggest false prophets in the last days, and because they're specifically preparing people for the acceptance of a one-world religion, a one-world government, and a one-world ruler. And that, of course, is the lie of the New Age movement. And what I'd like to talk about tonight is not only where they came from, but how they are infiltrating every sector of society, including the church, and how you need to be equipped to not fall for the lie as well.
Well, so that we're going to go to a break here, but ladies and gentlemen, this is no question at all. We are being prepared for a one-world government. We are being prepared for a one-world religion. And just notice all the publicity we're getting for the new pope. Some people think he's going to be the last pope. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But certainly we have people in both the Protestant and the Catholic Church who I believe serve.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 in the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Pastor Billy is talking about this move towards the one world religion. Of course, basically, it'll go along with the one world government, which will be headed by the Antichrist. But certainly this one world religion is a vitally important part of what we call the New Age movement. And Pastor Billy knows a great deal about that. After all, he was part of it before he became a born-again Christian, and of course was at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but he's basically says, you know, that certainly these people within this movement, this vast movement all across America, you don't hear about it, but it's called the New Age movement. And of course, they accept all religions except Christianity. And they reject Christianity because Christ had the audacity to say, I am the way and the truth and the life and the light, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me. Pastor Billy, pick up the story.
Well, and that's what they believe. They believe that, again, all religions are right, except, of course, Christianity. And they have to, because Christianity, obviously, the statement of Jesus, can't go along with this one-world religion. You can't blend. It's impossible. And again, just a little historical lesson. You know, for those of you who know, the New Age movement began around 1875, some say earlier, but just to back up the train a little bit, give you a little history lesson tonight. And it began with the false teachings of a lady named Helena Blavatsky. Okay, and she was a part of a cult group called the Theosophical Society. Okay, and here's what they believed in, and here's what they espoused. This is what they started working for. Number one thing, the abolishment of Christianity. A shocker. Okay, again. And the promotion of unity between the rest of the world's religion. And they claimed that their teachings, okay, were revealed by, quote, spirits or elemental guys, okay, which is demons, okay? Unfortunately, been there, done that. And they emphasized the evolution of a self-deified master Aryan society, okay, and a one-world new age religion and social order. Now, notice in there, they have to have the lie of evolution in place because they're got the whole planet bought into this lie called physical evolution, because the next lie that they're promoting is spiritual evolution, and that mankind, supposedly, if we all come together and form this one-world religion, a one-world government under a one-world ruler, okay, who's going to be an antichrist, okay, then that's actually, they say, a good thing, because then we can make a cosmic spiritual evolutionary leap, and mankind will usher in this new age of utopia, and that's kind of where they get their term, okay? And if you really just want to, every time you hear the word New Age, unfortunately, again, I think the media has done a great job of giving us the wrong picture. They give us the idea that, oh, those are just those funny, very few minuscule people who do some wacky things and are in a lotus position. They got a triangle on their head, but then, well, no. These are professional people. They're behind the scenes, and this is really what they're working towards, okay? And it's been going on for quite some time. Well, from her, it kind of took on, it was picked up by another person in the 20s called Alice Bailey, and had formed a Lucifer Publishing Company, which got changed eventually to Lucis Trust, I believe. And but that kind of gives you an insight of who their source of light is. Okay, and step by step, folks, they began plotting and working behind the scenes for many, many decades now to pull off this new age, okay? And again, if you want to understand New Age, okay, then just simply supplant it with this. Working towards the Antichrist kingdom. Okay, because that's just what it is. When you look, get behind the veneer and you peel off the layers, this is what they're promoting. One world religion, one world government, the abolishment of Christianity, and a one world ruler. Okay, that's the Antichrist kingdom. So you call it New Age. You could think, you know, think of these people that are looking weird with a triangle on their head. I'm just telling you, when you hear it, supplant it with the group of people behind the scenes, the movers and shakers around the world who are helping to usher in the Antichrist kingdom. That's what the New Age, quote, movement is. Okay, I want to hopefully simplify it for you. And anyway, so that they began to promote this and continue on. And, of course, shocker, you get your source from demons. And then, of course, their new world leaders number that they're looking forward to. Gee whiz, guess what? 666. That's, of course, what the Bible talks about, Mark the Beast, okay? It's almost like they're following the script. Okay, but anyway, just let me give you a few of their core beliefs. And you tell me, as I run through these beliefs, how much has already infiltrated our society. They believe that all is God. That's right, the earth is God, man is God, animals are God, plants are God. And the problem, of course, with that is the Bible says, no, there's only one God, okay? In fact, this lie that you could become God was the lie that Satan used to dupe Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. Okay, and yet, and we document this, you can see actual New Agers on video, as creepy, as audacious as this sounds. Are you serious? People would actually sit there and say, I am God, I am God. We document it, folks. We share with you the clip on this study of Shirley MacLaine and her movie that was picked up by ABC and aired many years back, and called Out on a Limb. And I always had an instructor that called it Out on a Broken Limb, because it is, unfortunately. And we share you the scene. It's crazy. That she's out there with her arms outstretched. She's staring at the ocean with her New Age guru beside her. And they're both chanting repeatedly over and over. And this is their big revelation, that I am God, I am God, I am God. And it's like, are you serious? And again, you see, you might think, oh, that's just Shirley MacLaine. That's just those, you know, kind of fringe people. Folks, I'm telling you, they've been working at this for decades, and they are gaining ground. And I'll get to that in a second, how they're doing that. Okay, they're coming in on the radar. Okay, but then they go on. They say, each one of us have the ability to become, listen to this, because this is a key phrase in New Age, the Christ, or they say the Christ consciousness. Okay? Now, I remember Dr. Monteith, when I became a Christian and read through the Bible, and then I read what Jesus had said, because I remember that, because that's, they believe that you could basically that Jesus was nothing special, is what they would say, that he was just an avatar, a teacher, a forerunner, if you will. He was an example of what we all could become, meaning to have all these great powers, that we could become the Christ. He wasn't as a Messiah. They say that he tapped into this Christ consciousness, right? Well, it's interesting. Jesus himself warned about, in the last days, you better be careful when people say that phrase. And this is what he says. I'll read it to you, Matthew 24. And again, these are signs that you know you're in the last days. And Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ. It's the exact same phrase that New Age uses. They didn't say, I am Christ, meaning the Messiah. It's got the article there, I am the Christ. And that's exactly what New Age teaches. Jesus said, you better watch out for those folks that are deceiving you. Okay? And then the New Age also teaches that man is destroying the earth along with the animals and plants, and that unless he changes his ways, Mother Earth will be forced to destroy humanity, and of course, guess who? That's right, Christianity. They say that Christianity is the biggest culprit in destroying the earth by teaching that man had dominion over the earth when the earth is actually a living being. No. First of all, the Bible says that we are to rule over the earth, yes, meaning that man is different than the animals, okay? But that does not mean it's synonymous with abuse, okay? The Bible says we need to be wise stewards of the planet that God's given us. Nobody's promoting as a Christian, yes, let's go pour toxic waste in our water supply. Yay, yay, yay. That's crazy. It's not at all what the Bible teaches, okay? But yet, man is not like the animal because we were created in the image of God. And secondly, there's also a difference between being a wise steward of the earth versus worshiping the earth as an actual living entity. It's not a living entity. It's a created thing. God's the one who made the earth, okay? In fact, the Bible says it's this very behavior as is the reason why the wrath of God is being poured out on the planet. And that's in Romans chapter 1. It says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things, i.e. the earth, rather than the creator, okay? And then, of course, New Age has to pick on this. There is no such thing as sin, okay? And so there's no need to repent or to be saved. Okay, really? No such thing as sin. I mean, just stop right there for a second. Does that mean that whatever Hitler did was perfectly fine? I mean, are people wrong in judging him and all the atrocities? Does that mean that all the crimes, all the horrendous things, all the serial murders and all the people who rip people off and steal and thieves and muggings, and is that okay? Oh, what do you mean there's no such thing as sin? That's ludicrous, okay? Well, again, they have to get away from Christianity because the Bible says all have sinned, including myself, and we fall short of the glory of God. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is willing to forgive you of what you've done, but you got to own up to it, okay? Then, of course, they attack Jesus, and they say, Jesus, hey, again, he's nothing special. He's just one of the many great teachers out there, such as Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. Those guys are still dead and still decaying, with all due respect, folks. And that's just one difference. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus forgave sin. Jesus did miracles. Jesus, the Bible says, is the one who's responsible for creation, Colossians chapter 1. And all things came from him, by him, through him, and for him. Okay, I'm sorry. Buddha, Muhammad, and Confucius didn't do that. There's a major radical difference between Jesus and these other guys. But again, if you're going to blend into this one world religion, you got to denigrate Jesus, okay? Then, of course, another big key that you're being duped is New Age says, here's what you got to do. Okay, if you want to get this enlightenment, if you want to get this New Age knowledge, if you want to be ahead of the rest of the people, then you need to seek direction directly from the spirit world. Well, how do you do that? Well, here's what they promote. You need to get contact with a psychic. You need to become a channeler, which is letting demons speak directly through you. Again, unfortunately, been there, done that. You need to get involved in palm reading, astrology, space aliens. I'll get to that hopefully in a second. You need to start doing necromancy and trying to contact your dead relatives, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the problem is the Bible says that's an abomination. In fact, that's one of the biggest ways to open up doors to demons. You don't want to do that. And God says this in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He says, hey, don't let anybody imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Don't let anybody be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, who's a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anybody who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Why? Because he doesn't want us deceived. And these things are opening the doors to demons. And the Bible says, don't go down this route. Yet that's what New Age says you got to do. Link up and let demons communicate through you.
And I think it's important for people to understand there is a supernatural element out there. There is another dimension, and this is where these demonic forces are coming from. There really is supernatural. If you believe the Bible, you have to believe in the supernatural. And what, of course, we want to be on the side of Christ, not the demonic forces. Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Well, another thing, and how do you get, you know, this is pretty blunt. How do you get around this one? You say, oh, New Age, that's just a religion thing. They're not really working towards promoting the Antichrist kingdom. Are you kidding me? Here's one of their big tenets, folks. In order for the world to be at peace and harmony, here's what there has to be on the planet. Here it is. New world order, universal monetary system, okay, world authority on food, and a world authority on health, world authority on water, a universal tax, a military draft, a one world leader, and guess what? The abolishment of Christianity. You got to be kidding me, folks. And everything's there. One world government, one world leader, one world economy, one world religion is there, and get rid of Christianity. I mean, do you see a common thread here? And of course, the Bible 2,000 years ago, okay, clearly warned about this time. It's not a good time. It's not the age of utopia. It's not something to look forward to. It's not something to link hands with and work with. Are you kidding me? It's going to be your worst nightmare on the planet. It's the Antichrist kingdom. Jesus said of this time, of the seven-year tribulation, it's going to be the worst time in mankind's history. And in fact, unless God shortened the time frame, the whole human race would be destroyed. And yet this is what these people are working towards. Okay? They've just basically taken what God warned 2,000 years ago to get away from and don't have any part of. Okay? And they've changed the terminology. New Age. Utopia. It's just crazy, folks, and people fall for it. Okay, and unless you think that they're really going to work at abolishing Christianity and calling out specifically Christians and murdering them, folks, you got another thing coming. This is a direct quote from a New Age letter, magazine called the Omega Letter. Okay, and listen to what they say. Here's what they're promoting. Quote, there is only one obstacle to world unity, Christianity. And it goes on to say that Christianity claims supernatural knowledge and divine revelation, and therefore should not be tolerated. Well, I'm sorry, you say, your whole premise is one world religion, so we have to tolerate everything. But by your own definition of tolerance, you don't even do that. You don't, quote, tolerate Christianity. Okay? You want to annihilate. And listen to this. They go on and talk about how Gus Hall, the former leader of the Communist Party in America, said this. Listen to his quote. He said, I dream of a time when the last congressman is strangled to death on the guts of the last preacher. And since Christians love to sing about the blood, why not give them a little bit of it? Folks, I'm telling you, this hatred, this animosity towards Christianity isn't just, oh, we just severely disagree with you. We don't like you. No, they want to annihilate. Why? Because Christians, based on what Jesus said, you know, followers of Christ, Christians, okay, he said he's it. Okay, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. It's a direct quote from Jesus. Okay, so you can't go along with it. Well, if you don't go along with it, you're going to pay the price. The Bible talks about this in Revelation 17. And again, this is what I'm currently preaching on. And it talks about the harlot, the woman that rides the beast, the one world religious system working in cohorts with the Antichrist. And it says that she is drunk with the blood of those who bear testimony to Jesus. Okay, it's going to be serious slaughter time. You don't want to be there, okay, to put it mildly. But then again, you're thinking, well, okay, maybe it's just against some isolated people and some fringe people with this New Age movement. But folks, I'm telling you, this is almost in every sector of society, okay? And they're introducing this lie right under our noses, okay? You don't have to go in the backwoods of some New Age bookstore anymore. It's everywhere, okay? And it's growing, okay? Back as far as 1995.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We're going to bring our stations back on board right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I guess it's Pastor Billy Crone, and he's talking about this anti-Christian movement. They call it the New Age, but it wants to bring in a one-world religion, incorporating all the religions except for Christianity, and they actually stipulate that Christianity is the one that can't go along with this, because Christianity insists it's the only true religion. And so there's an organized effort to destroy Christianity, and that is why people who are affiliated with this movement took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. This is why our schools will not allow any of the teachers to talk about God or to have a Bible or Bible study. This is why they've taken Christmas pageants and Christmas celebrations and Easter pageants and Easter celebrations out of our schools. Why the American military over there in Afghanistan and in Iraq have instituted governments there, constitutions, under Sharia law, and of course Sharia law excludes Christianity if you're a Christian. Why the people are driven out, they've driven all the Christians out of Afghanistan. There weren't that many there before the Americans went, but now the Americans are there, all the Christians have left. They've driven 90% of the Christians out of Iraq, there are only a few left. Many of them went down to Syria, and now, of course, we've destroyed that at last haven for them. The same thing is true as far as Egypt. You must understand that the official policy, the real policy of America, is an intense hatred of Christianity, but the average Christian in America has no idea what's going on. He doesn't understand that there is an organized effort at the highest levels of our government to destroy Christianity. But, of course, it's done very, very subtly, always in the name of fairness. And, oh, we wouldn't want to offend those people who would be offended by the mention of the name Jesus Christ or having a prayer in a public place. It's all right, of course, to have all sorts of other celebrations, and Buddhist and Muslim and Hindu, but don't you dare have anything that advocates Jesus Christ. There is a conspiracy against Christianity. There is a conspiracy to bring about a one-world government. And it is a Luciferian conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very well organized and very well financed. Go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, you know, just a couple of weeks, I had exposed on this one world religion I'm working on right now. You know, you want proof that what they're doing in the schools and what they're teaching our kids. And we talked about that. And I exposed the Green Cross. Sounds great, but it's headed up by Gorbachev. And he's working with this, quote, Green Cross and through the UN. And it's through, and then filtering that down the U.S. government through the NEA, the National Educational Association. And they are... Gorbachev, believe it or not, the Green Cross is now dictating much of what is being taught in a public educational system. And, of course, what it is anti-Christian, anti-American teaching, and it's promoting one world religion. In fact, quoting the humanists once again, that they say that basically they mock people, say, you know, what can 1 hour a week do to stem the tide of a five-day programming of public education with humanism to stop it? You guys aren't going to stop it. And then they basically says we're using the public educational system to for the next generation to prepare them for the world, the new world that we are creating for them. These are direct quotes. This is make-believe, folks. This is really what's going on there. Another thing that the UN is doing is they're working on what's called a defamation of religion. You talked about Sharia law, and they're pushing the defamation of religion. So basically, in a nutshell, that would make Christianity and Jesus' statement that he's the only way and the truth and life, and the proclamation of the gospel, believe it or not, at the UN, check it out yourself, folks, called Defamation of Religion. They would make it an international crime. Okay? Christianity and the proclamation of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven would become an international crime. Not even just a national crime, an international crime. Now, what's wild about that is Jesus said in Matthew 24, he says there's going to come a day when all people, the whole planet, is going to hate you because of me. And here we have the UN pushing with this defamation of religion because of all the stuff that's been stirred up with Islam. Okay? And now, for the first time in mankind's history, Christianity and the proclamation of the gospel can become an international crime. Folks, this is all going on. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I truly believe the enemy's done a masterful job of getting us distracted. We're more concerned about the economy than we are eternity. We're more concerned about who's going to win the playoffs than who's going to make to heaven. And all this is going on at the UN, in our educational system, in the government. It's really happening. It's all out there. People would just open your eyes and see. The media's promoting it. I'll get to that in a second. And the blanket is fast coming down, folks. If ever there was a time to get motivated, it is now.
You're absolutely right. And, Chris, basically, ladies and gentlemen, there's an effort to destroy the faith of our children. That's what the educational system is. It's basically aimed at certainly concealing the existence of Jesus Christ from our children and indoctrinating them in this idea of a one-world religion, a one-world government, and, of course, the destruction of America and freedom as we've known it. That's what our public education is really about today.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy is talking certainly about this new religion that's growing very rapidly in America. And of course, the high priestess is a woman named Oprah Winfrey, and she's using her television programs to recruit people into this new age religion, which she is purporting. And of course, it's all anti-Christian. It is all aimed at undermining the very tenets of Christianity. And Oprah Winfrey has a tremendous following across America. And people have no idea. And even good Christians will go onto her program and be sucked into the false material, false information, false philosophy that the high priestess of the New Age is putting forward in America today. Oprah Winfrey, go right ahead, Pastor Bell.
Well, again, for people like, are you serious? We even share with you on this study, you'll see the actual video clip, that you will see the actual program that, just one of them, where Oprah Winfrey clearly denies biblical doctrine, even though she would kind of claim to be a quasi-Christian. She openly denies John 14:6 that Jesus is the way, and she literally is calling, she's rebuking one of her audience members, you'll see it on video, one of her audience members, and saying there can't only be one way. There is not only one way. And the Christian lady in the audience stood up and started to talk back to Oprah. I can't believe they kept the cameras rolling. And I can't believe we actually got the video. And she was saying, there is only one way. The Bible says, Jesus says, there is only one way. And Oprah was like beside herself, just aghast, almost choking. It seemed that this lady would have the audacity. And again, it's not the lady. It's just Jesus. And here you, Oprah, are claiming to be a Christian. And you're sitting here rebuking a Christian, quoting just the words of Jesus. And she's just literally beside herself. There isn't one way. There can't be only way. You mean to tell me, blah, blah, blah. And you'll see with your own eyes. Folks, she is one of the, if not the biggest New Age, outside of Shirley MacLaine, one of the biggest New Age priestesses on the planet. And she has a voice because she's been given a voice, unfortunately. It's being used to promote New Age, and she's sucking Christians into it. Christians are voluntarily indoctrinating themselves into New Age lies by watching her program every single day, folks. I'm telling you, the enemy's slick, and that's how he's getting people. They're not waiting for you to fall into a bookstore or come across some person who's trying to sell you crystals. You know, they are after you, and they're using Hollywood to get the job done. Now, very briefly, this is a huge topic in itself, but we cover this in great detail in our Final Countdown study, and you'll see the videos as well in this. But another way that people are being sucked into this New Age lie to prepare for a one-world religion, a one-world economy, a one-world government, and an anti-Christ, okay, believe it or not, and, of course, to slam Christianity and only Christianity, is the lie, it's another false prophet, and the prophets are called aliens. Okay, we have a whole DVD just on this topic. What about UFOs and aliens? Okay, and they're clearly demonic. Been there, done that. Anybody who knows anything of New Age, they're synonymous with aliens, because when they do this channeling stuff, which is demonic, okay, guess who starts speaking through them? It isn't just the lying, you know, supposed Aunt Vera. It's not just supposedly the lie of somebody who lived in the 1800s or themselves in a past life, or blah, blah, blah. But guess who also pops in through this demonic source? Aliens, you know, which is kind of interesting that they would do that. And we expose their identity, what they really are, and begin to deal with them. And the first way that you know you're being lied to, just like with New Age, and that you're dealing with a demonic source, is when you take a look at what these supposed aliens teach, okay? And you got to think about it. You come all the way across the universe, and here's what you're promoting. Okay, and listen to this. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. All of us are little gods. These are the quote-unquote messages that are coming through these supposed space brothers. Okay, that all of us are little gods. The Earth is a living entity, and we need to worship her and change our ways, or we would just be destroyed. Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha all came from the extraterrestrials to assist mankind in our next step of evolution. There is no such thing as sin, and we do not need to be saved. Orthodox Christianity has it all wrong. Jesus' real message was to teach us that each one of us can become Christ. And to aid in contacting the space alien, we need to refrain from certain foods and practice meditation. And they come all the way across the universe to tell us that we need to unite into a one-world government, a one-world religion, or we will destroy. And listen to this. This is crazy. But folks, this is well documented. You come all the way across the universe just to tell me, listen, that the devil, or Lucifer, is actually a good guy who has come to free us. What? I mean, you would think if you come all, you're supposed to be this higher evolved race. You're supposed to be super duper intelligent, you know, and you got all this amazing technology. And you've journeyed all, supposedly, all the way across the universe, and just to slam Christianity, promote New Age, agree with everything New Age is saying, and say we have to form ourselves into this one world religion and government and economy, or we're going to be destroyed under a leader, and that the devil's a good guy. I mean, come on, folks, it's crazy. But that's exactly what these quote-unquote entities are saying. That's your first clue, folks, that something weird is going on, okay? And they're always bad-mouthing the Bible. They're always downplaying Christianity, okay? And I like what one guy said, one researcher. He said, in light of the messages given by the UFO entities, how credible is it to think that literally thousands of genuine extraterrestrials would fly millions or billions of light years simply to teach New Age philosophy, deny Christianity, and support the occult? He said, first of all, why would they do this when there's already a bunch of that activity already occurring on this planet? We don't need their help. And why would these entities, listen to this, actually possess and inhabit people just like demons do if they really were advanced extraterrestrials? And why would they consistently lie about things which we know are true, and why would they purposely deceive their contacts? Well, yeah, that's a great question. Why would they do that? Why would they come all the way across the galaxy just to promote the rise of the Antichrist, support New Age, occultic beliefs, and debunk only Christianity and Jesus? I mean, folks, common sense. If you were really a real alien, and you really were scientifically advanced, you really were super-duper intelligent, and you came over here and supposedly were trying to do something benevolent, you would think you would share with us some secret technology to help us find a cure for cancer or something, or just, you know, to relieve the energy crisis, something like that. But no, 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 no. You came all the way across the galaxy, supposedly across the galaxy, just to slam Jesus and Christianity and the Bible, promote the Antichrist kingdom, and don't forget, say that Satan is actually a good guy, and we got it wrong. Come on, folks. This is crazy. We're being duped. Okay, and I really believe this is part of the deceit that Jesus said you better be on the lookout for in the last days, man. In fact, he says that there's going to come a lie. The Bible says there's going to come a lie in the last days so powerful that if you're not careful, it could even deceive the elect. And I think the UFO and alien thing is just part of that. And again, of all ways that we can supposedly communicate with these UFOs and aliens, okay, is guess what? They say that we need to get ourselves into an altered state of consciousness, and then they can speak through us. What? Again, that's New Age channeling. That's what the Bible warned about, Deuteronomy 18. That's when you actually allow a demon to come inside you and speak through you. And then again, let's do some common sense here. Okay, you come all the way across the galaxy, okay? Again, just to slam Jesus and Christianity and the Bible, promote New Age teachings, and say that Satan's a good guy. But the only way, and again, you're supposed to be higher evolved. You're supposed to be super intelligent. You're supposed to have science beyond my belief. And the only way I can talk to you and communicate with you is through a demonic practice? I mean, you think you'd at least give me a walkie-talkie. How about a newfangled cell phone? Can you send me an email once in a while? Surely you can meet me at my level of technology so I can talk with you. But no, the only way that I can communicate with you is there something that invites demonic control. It's crazy, absolutely crazy, which brings another passage from the Bible to life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about the last days, and listen to this. He says, the Spirit clearly says, the Spirit of God, that in the latter time, some will abandon the faith and will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Folks, that's what's happening when people channel, quote-unquote, these spirits, and including the quote-unquote spirit of the UFO space alien. I'm sorry, give me a walkie-talkie, do something like that. This is a bunch of baloney, that every single method that I can only listen to you, your teachings, and communicate with you is demonic, okay? And then another way that we know, and I kind of alluded to this a little bit ago, that you know you're dealing with demons, is of all things for them to want to do, okay, when they make contact with people, okay, they almost always seem to go down this route of this. Hey, by the way, can we possess you? Like, are you serious? And folks, I'm not making this up. And this was huge back in New Age. I've been there, done that. Okay, they had their own terminology, like being a star seed or things of that nature, and that you can be a channel of light, and that you have the privilege of letting these space brothers, you know, speak through you. And again, can't you just beam down a television program? Can't you send me? Can you do an old fashioned letter? Okay, why do you have to come inside of me and inhabit me and possess me like a demon? It's crazy, folks, and yet that's exactly what they do. And then when you take a look at when people have actual encounters with these entities, okay, there's some serious side effects. And there seems to be one of three things that happen to these people. One, after an encounter with supposed UFOs or aliens, people go typically deeper into the occult and New Age, shocker, okay? Two, they kill themselves, they commit suicide, and or they become and begin to act as if they were demonically possessed, okay? And again, that's what even the secular researchers are saying. These entities are strangely starting to parallel what age-old sources, including the Bible, have been saying with demonic possession, okay? And then, again, even the secular researchers are admitting that the way that they travel, okay, they don't really travel so much physically. They are traveling as if they're more of a spiritual entity, Okay, and that's because they clock them at speeds up to about 15,000 miles an hour, making right turns. Now, first of all, if there was anything physical, you would be smashed to the atomic. You'd be road pizza, man. Okay, but these things can do that. Okay, they begin to appear and disappear. They morph and change shapes. Okay, as if they're coming from one dimension to another dimension. And the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about demons, okay, and angels, how they can traverse from the spirit world into our world and kind of go back and forth. They pop in, they pop out. You see them 1 minute, they disappear the next. And gee whiz, guess what these critters do? They do the exact same thing. And it's interesting, too, when you look at how they travel, okay, they're able to go faster than the speed of sound, but they don't make a sonic boom like a normal physical object does, okay? Radar has never actually ever recorded a UFO entering our atmosphere. You'll see some stuff in our atmosphere, but you never seem like, yep, here it comes, Bob. We got it. You got to check. Here it is. They're coming around the backside of Mars. Okay, they're going to be here in X amount of hours. No, no, no. They're never coming from out of the atmosphere. They're coming from inside the atmosphere, which researchers are saying. These are the secular guys who have been studying this for decades. Okay, you can't say this is just Christians trying to make this up. But they are saying that these beings are not so much from outer space as they are originating from inner space. In other words, meaning they're coming from another dimension. They're not coming from the backside of Pluto or someplace out in the deal. In fact, one guy had stated, this is secular, he says, one theory that can no longer be taken very seriously is that UFOs are interstellar spaceships. Okay, in other words, they're not coming from outer space. The secular researchers are admitting that. They're saying when we look at their characteristics and how they pop in, pop out, they're coming from another dimension. And the Bible, of course, calls that the spirit realm, which, of course, angels and, yes, demons, which are fallen angels, that's how they travel. Okay? But again, you possess like demons, you travel like demons, you communicate like demons. What you communicate is that Satan's a good guy, you agree with New Age occult, you slam Jesus Christ. Okay? But to me, one of the biggest things and the biggest proofs that you are dealing with a demonic deception, okay, when it comes to aliens and UFOs, is there is on record, folks, and we share with you the actual video clip of this. We share of some of the abduction experiences, okay, and there is on record secular research. There is one way and only one way to get rid of these critters if they do appear on the scene, and this is it. Listen to this. Tell me what this is. It's when you command them in the name of Jesus Christ to leave, and they do. In fact, there's one person I did an interview on, and her name's Christine, that's all I'll say, and she talks about her experience that she had three of these entities coming towards her and her twin sister. And this was in Oregon. And she said that her brother had told her that if these things ever showed up, you need to command them in the name of Jesus Christ to leave. And so they were utter terror, and here they come, and they were backed up against, they couldn't run, and she did what her brother told her, and she commanded them in the name of Jesus Christ to leave. She said they not only left, she said they left so fast they were tripping over each other, trying to get out of there that fast. And folks, the Bible clearly says that there's only one name under heaven by which men might be saved, Jesus Christ, and there's only one name under heaven that demons must cower, obey, and flee, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? Why is it that these critters leave, and not just leave, but they flee in utter terror when you command them in the name of Jesus Christ to leave. Okay, and even again, secular researchers are bringing out this point. They are. In fact, they're aghast at why people aren't picking up on this aspect. Number one, what they find is there's a certain group of people who are largely absent from these abduction experiences, and that is true born again Christians. Okay. People out there, Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, agnostics, they all have these abduction experiences. But there's one particular group, Bible-believing Christians, that these ETs tend to avoid, okay, which is another clue, okay? And then as they continue to do the research and they're looking at these parallels, well, when you got people who rebuked them in the name of Jesus Christ, we've got something weird going on here. And again, we document that. You can see the actual videos with that, okay? And in fact, one lady, I'll just share with you her report, and she says, you know, my name's Joyce. I'll leave the last name off. And she says, I'm a floral designer, and I was lying in bed, my husband and I. And I was lying on my right side, and all I could see when I opened my eyes was this red light above the window, and I could see my husband's shoulder, but I was paralyzed. And she said then they came in the room, and the skin looked like elephant skin, she said. They had these big bulbous heads and big red-brown eyes. And then she says that all she could think of doing was calling out the name of Jesus. And she says as immediately she did that, she says that everything completely stopped. And then, you know, another guy did the same thing. He was in Florida, and his dog started barking. The next thing you know, he's got this light coming in his room, and he actually, they were levitating him off his bed. And just, he was in utter terror and complete desperation. He just, in fear, he called out, Jesus, 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 and then said, Jesus, please help me. And immediately, the abduction experience stopped. Okay, and folks, you put all this together. You got these things that teach like demons. They agree with New Age. They say Satan's a good guy. They communicate through demonic means. They travel as if they're a spiritual entity, not physical. They want to possess people like demons, and you command them in the name of Jesus Christ to leave, and they do. Hey, folks, I got a theory, and it goes like this: if it walks like a demon and it talks like a demon, travels like a demon, acts like a demon, and is rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ like a demon, I think you're dealing with a demon here.
And I think that that's absolutely true. And ladies and gentlemen, you must understand this is not imaginary. There really is a spiritual realm out there. And if you look at so many of the things going on today that just don't make sense, you have to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Once you understand that, it all makes sense.
Your body is composed
Pastor Billy,
of
we've got 3 minutes to
cells.
Wrap up the program.
Cells are well, the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. ProPax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. ProPax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try ProPax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease.
That's not what it is. It's the UFO space.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken it upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. Judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called prostate support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes prostate support and recommends it. And thousands of men take prostate support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try prostate support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call
today. And then of all events you're trying to explain away, it's the rapture of the church. Folks, this is not make-believe. This is really what's going on.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and whenever we have Pastor Billy on, why the time goes so quickly. Pastor Billy, we're out of time, but I want you to tell listeners how they can get to your website.
Yeah, you can check us out at our main website at getalifemedia.com, G-E-T-A, you can get getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Or if you're in the Las Vegas area, you can join us for services at Sunrise Baptist Church at Sunrise LV, as in Las Vegas, sunriselv.com.
And my son and daughter, my wife and son are looking forward to seeing you there at the National Religious Broadcasters. God bless. Great program as always. Thanks so very much.
God bless. Thanks, Dr.
God bless. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get some of Pastor Billy's material, we have it. He has basically a five-part series. There's five DVDs in each set. Oh, it's called The Final Countdown. How do we understand what's really going on in the world today? As you've heard me say many times, on the 10th of December of 2010, why President Obama was actually interviewed by Steve Croft, who said, you know, suddenly, Mr. President, why we have 60,000 American troops in Afghanistan, why are you sending another 30,000 when there are only 50 members of Al-Qaeda there? No, of course, Steve Croft should have also mentioned 45,000 members of NATO, 100,000 paid contractors, 300,000 Afghan troops and police, and certainly the 50 members of Al-Qaeda. And President Barack Obama, without showing any sign of emotion, said, well, they're plotting against America, and my job is to defend America. That's why we're sending an additional 30,000 troops. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only 50 members of Al-Qaeda at that time, 2010. You can look it up on the Internet, YouTube. I just put in YouTube, 60 Minutes, December 10th, 2010, 50 members of Al-Qaeda, something like that. And you'll find out it's true. How do you make any sense out of this? It's not that the world is mad, ladies and gentlemen. We're dealing with a supernatural element. There was no reason for us to go to Afghanistan. There was no reason to go to Iraq. There was no reason to kill a million people over there. We're involved in a spiritual battle, and the American people have got to start standing up. Well, certainly we recommend the number of different tape sets and DVD sets we have from Pastor Crone. You can call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I recommend the Final Countdown series. I'm going to say there are five parts to it. Each one has five DVDs. And you'll learn so much. You'll learn so much about what's really going on. He has a lot of wonderful video footage. I don't know where he gets it. And, of course, we'll be carrying a number of his other programs. We watch them. Barbara and I usually watch them in the evening after we end up our our radio programs. And then, of course, if we think they're well worthwhile, we carry them. And we carry most of those that he's done in recent years. They're available simply by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you're going to start someplace, start with the Final Countdown, and then if you want the others, why, you can just ask the girls at the exchange. Then, of course, we do hope that many of you will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll get some of our talks, say on Agenda 21, the covert plan, or population control, the covert agenda, or the New World Order. That's where I interview the American ambassador to Cuba at the time. We installed Fidel Castro. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Fidel didn't win the revolution. He didn't have the support of the Cuban people. We installed him there because he was a communist, and we knew he was a communist. And you'll hear the American ambassador to Cuba, a multi-billionaire, tell you that story. And then, of course, we have certainly my DVD on the Desperate Deception, an interview with Norman Dodd, the head of the research for the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford. And what did they find? Why, they were funding communism and Marxism here in the United States. Why do you think we have this enemy? Why, it's being funded by our people of great wealth. And then you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We're involved in a supernatural battle. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Fenwick. And Dr. Fenwick, as I recall, was from South Africa. He's been practicing for a number of years. Here, I believe, in Canada and in the United States. But anyway, Chris, he has some very strong views about what's happening to the practice of medicine today and certainly what's going to happen if we do go into Obamacare. Dr. Fenwick, why don't you just pick up the story and tell us about your concerns today?
Dr. Stan, it's a great privilege to be with you, and it's great to be here in America. I'm actually from South Africa, and I practiced for a while in the national health care system for South Africa, and then I went to England and had some experience working for the English National Health Service. And that was enough to convince me that I needed to find somewhere else, and that brought me to the United States of America in 1974, where I've been involved in health care in one sort of the way or the other ever since then.
Well, I was, of course, in South Africa. I went to South Africa in 74. I was there at the 77th University of the Orange Free State in Bloemfontein. It's a wonderful country, but there's no place like America, and I'm so glad I came home in 1977. And of course, then basically you are certainly very concerned, I know, about what's happening to the future of medicine here. So why don't you pick up your thoughts about you're concerned and what needs to be done?
Well, you know, most of all, I don't want us to go back to the system that I left. And I had some real concerns working for the National Health Service, certainly in South Africa. I had the experience when I was a young doctor, 24 years old, and just recently graduated, of every Tuesday morning I would confront a room full of people with a list of beds available in my pocket, and it was my job to choose from maybe 30 or so people, maybe 12 of them, who would be fortunate enough to come into the hospital and have surgery. And it was quite a burden for a young person to play God and decide who was worthy. Do you decide on who was hurting most, who is more likely to not survive until the next week? And I was very pleased when I came to America to find this great free enterprise system that existed almost everywhere except, ironically, in healthcare and also in education. So I started off as a youngster, nearly 30, and during that time, I found that the wonderful thing about America did allow you to change things, and it didn't matter who you were. People would listen, and America celebrated new ideas and entrepreneurship. And I worked in a hospital where, like everywhere else, women came in for their babies and went into assembly line of labor rooms and delivery rooms and recovery rooms and postpartum rooms. And it was very difficult for families. And so I developed a healthcare system that eventually became standard throughout the United States, where families remain in the same room and use birthing beds. And that gave me the idea that maybe we should start looking at the healthcare system as it is. the American healthcare system started off with the best of intentions back just after World War II, when a lot of kindly minded people decided that with a rich company like ours, nobody should worry about healthcare. It should simply be provided by the government, and it should be free.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Go right ahead.
So the system that we have today was based on the idea that government was the best organization to make our healthcare decisions for us. And from the very beginning, the objective was to have a single-payer national healthcare system similar to the one that we left. Unfortunately, it had to deal with human nature. And as we developed government and health insurance bureaucracies, they were handled, managed by bureaucrats who are not unlike everybody else, have ambition. And the way to proceed in one's life as a bureaucrat is to have your bureaucracy increased in size, which they did with great success, to the point where American healthcare has now increased at seven times the rate of our population growth. We now have the most expensive healthcare in the world. In fact, we have our healthcare is greater than the next 10 nations in the world. And don't actually have healthcare that's 10 times better. And the system that we had was based on pooling everybody's money, taking away the control of healthcare that we all had back 60 years ago, and then creating this enormous bureaucracy that decided what services we would receive. And on the other side, an equally large army of people working for doctors' offices trying to get paid and trying to get permission to provide the services we have. It's an enormously inefficient system. The two armies together employ over 500,000 people. They all need to be paid, and it also includes many, many government bureaucracies as well as the overhead for the health insurance companies. So the bottom line is that for every healthcare dollar that's spent in the United States, 42 cents of it never goes to actual healthcare. It's absorbed in running agencies, healthcare, health insurance, profit and overhead. And of that 58 cents that actually goes to doctors and hospitals and clinics, about a third of that is to buy goods and services that you and I would never buy for ourselves. When everything is paid for and it's covered by insurance and it's government money or insurance company money, it's like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And the temptation to go for the shrimp and go for a second plate affects the behavior of not only patients, but of doctors as well.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Dr. Pennick is simply pointing out that basically what has evolved in America, starting with a system where I went into practice in 1960, and basically certainly everybody had health care, but it was provided at the local level. We had a county hospital. You did not have a television in every room. You sometimes had large wards where the elderly were taken care of, but everybody was fed, everybody was warm, everybody was taken care of and treated kindly, and a whole different world. And then gradually, of course, the bureaucracy began to grow. And when Medicare came in and Medicaid came in, it started out, this is wonderful. There's no financial restraints at all. We have lots of money. I simply just go along with the system. We'll pay your usual and customary fees to the doctors, to the hospitals, and you do what's right for the patients. And what most people don't understand is the government did exactly what they said they would do. The only thing was they didn't tell you how long they were going to do it. And then, of course, with the insurance companies, we began to get more and more bureaucracy, and the government more and more bureaucracy. And as Dr. Fendick is pointing out today, why, of course, we have certainly Well, certainly luxury medicine, when you're paying for medicine, you're concerned about it. If you're not paying for it, why not just have the best things possible? In fact, I can remember people coming to my office and I'd say, well, now, why are you here today? And this one fellow said, well, my wife is going shopping and I didn't want to go with her, so I thought I'd come to see you. And he's got, here he is in my office, you know, as a Medicare patient, but it didn't cost him anything. Well, Dr. Fenwick is pointing out that 42 cents out of every dollar invested in healthcare simply goes to finance this massive bureaucracy that we have. And then, of course, it is just totally wasteful. We spend so much more than any other country, and the healthcare is not that much better. But, of course, the problem is it's the way it's organized. Go right ahead, Dr. Fenwick.
Well, hey, you're absolutely right, and the way that it was organized, there were the eventual goal was this national healthcare system, and the first step the government made, you know, it was back in the time when they did all these wonderful progressive programs like federal insurance and Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and employer paid insurance, and people were looking to the government and their unions back then to take responsibility for themselves. And so they willingly gave the money that they earned and put it into the hands of their employers. And as a result, without their own money that they could use for bargaining, they were then had no power over what services they could ask for. And then on top of that, the whole practice of medicine became a mystery to the point where today, not only do patients not have an idea of what their procedures and medicines cost, but their doctors don't either. And people go check into hospitals with absolutely no idea and can come out on the other side with bills of hundreds of thousands of dollars. We also, the other way, apart from taking people's money away from them and hiding the cost of care, we've had all of these schemes that have been put in over the years, primarily by the lobbyists for the healthcare industry, that means that we can't buy anything remotely connected to healthcare without having to go to somebody for a prescription, for an examination, for a medical order. We can't today, if you need to check on your cholesterol, you need to go and have an examination and a prescription, the same thing if you even want to buy oxygen. I mean, after all, thousands of people, many more people are killed by water than by oxygen. It's just they haven't figured out a way that we need to get a prescription for water. And I'm sure we'd have that anyway. The bottom line is that anything vaguely related to healthcare, the cost has escalated extraordinarily. That cost is hidden. And people have absolutely no ability to bargain. And neither do they have an incentive because, after all, it's somebody else's money.
I certainly agree with you. If people are paying their own money, they're going to be concerned about it. If you're going to get it for nothing, the sky's the limit. And I've heard people say, you know, I was a physician, families would say, cost is of no consequence. Do whatever you think, doctor. And basically, of course, there's some times when you really should be better off not doing anything at all. But, of course, when families are pushing you because they have no personal involvement in it, and they're quite willing to spend the government's money because the government has a lot of money, or it used to have a lot of money. Today, we are head over heels in debt. It's getting worse and worse. Basically, it took us 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. Ronald Reagan was able to actually accumulate $1.7 trillion in 8 years in office. George W. Bush increased $5 trillion in 4 years, and Barack Obama, pardon me, in 8 years, and certainly Barack Obama increased our debt almost $6 trillion, simply in 4 years, and it's going to get far worse going down the line. We're simply going to spend ourselves into oblivion and destroy the country, and then the whole system's going to collapse as far as I'm concerned. But Dr. Fenwick, what do you think?
Well, it's reached the point where it is collapsing. And what countries around the world have realized is that the top-down, centrally controlled government third-party system simply does not work. And incidentally, you know, I was mentioning how we developed a new maternity care system throughout the United States. I did it, by the way, with the help of a lady who has the great fortune of also sharing a view of Monterey Bay, Dr. And between us, we designed about 400 maternity centers in the United States, helped the other 3,200. But then eventually, I started working in Europe. And a few years ago, we were both in China, where we were working with the Chinese Communist government in helping them to implement a very large maternity care center for 22,000 babies a year that was based entirely on the free market system. And here we had this irony of even the Chinese communists recognizing that if one wants to have a thriving economy, the only system that reduces price, increases access and quality, and adds the incentives of consumers to be able to use their own money and for providers to meet their needs by providing them with value is the capitalist system. And after we came back from China, I got to looking at if we could change maternity care, let's take on the great gorilla and let's look at the fundamentally changing the American healthcare delivery system, which is based on this top-down system. And there have been a lot of people, I mean literally hundreds of people, have looked at reforming American healthcare. And almost universally, their idea is to try and tame this monster. And I don't believe that the healthcare monster we have can be tamed. It needs to be replaced by the simple system that has worked for us in every other field of economic endeavor, and that is the empowered consumer using their own brains and their own protection of their own assets to search for value and to reward good value and to shun value that does not meet their needs.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that there is a place, however, for insurance, but it has to be wise insurance. It has to be a deductible insurance. It has to be an insurance that gives the patient an incentive not to use it unless they absolutely have to. And how we're ever going to be able to do this, basically, many people are, you know, if you go in the hospital, you can run up a bill of $100,000, certainly, in a very, very short period of time, and it's totally ridiculous. I mean, they charge such ridiculous costs for everything, and the hospital will acknowledge it. And if you go in and complain, they'll usually cut your bill down to about a quarter of what they billed you. Why do they have to do this? Well, because basically the federal government requires it. Basically, if you had a heart operation, the doctor billed $11,000. $11,000 for my heart operation. That was just for the operation. That was in the hospital. He probably got about $2,000. Maybe he got $1,500. I don't know how much he got, but certainly he was entitled to that. It was a long, hard operation. But he has to then, the next patient that comes in, he has to bill $11,000 for something that the government would only pay him $1,500 to $2,000 for. They've created an impossible situation for doctors, an impossible situation for patients in the hospital, and certainly the hospitals are billing ridiculous sums, and they know that. Go right ahead, doctor.
Well, you're right there, but you know, we have not had health insurance in this country for decades. What we have is a system of prepayment. Insurance is where you insure against a financial catastrophe that you cannot take care of for yourself. That was what insurance used to be for healthcare back in the 60s. It's the same as we have insurance for our cars and houses today. You insure against catastrophe. What we now have with our prepayment system is a way of collecting from the average family, the average American family in 2012, for the first time, spent more than $20,000 on the cost of their health care. Now, most of that they never saw for themselves. It was actually $20,728, of which about $12,000 was paid by the employers, and the rest they paid either in co-pays or in the part before the deductible. But that means that the average family of four, over 40 years of lifetime, have put $800,000 of 40 years times $20,000 into the cost of their health care.
Well, the whole thing is ridiculous, and nobody has the courage. None of the politicians want to really tackle this, you know, because after all, the older people, they feel that they're entitled, they've been paying into it, but of course they don't pay into it. Basically, the government pays most of it, and it's certainly going to go from bad to worse, but the whole system, as far as I'm concerned, is not a matter of if but when it collapses. We've got to start thinking of alternatives, and I think this is what Dr. Fenech is doing. How are we going to deal with this? We're going to have to get back to where people are involved in their own health care, and doctors can take care of patients rather than doing all the paperwork and trying to get permission to do what's right to help people.
Well, yeah, the program that is getting a lot of interest now, we call it the People Power Plan. And essentially, instead of getting that $800,000 and putting it into a bottomless pit where you never see any of that come back, where people have their own, they save their own money, just like we used to do in the old days. We used to call it a net deck then. And it's not health, it's not a health savings account, which is owned by the government and covered with burdens that require you to buy all sorts of care that you don't need and limits very severely your ability to save. What we have is a plan that has two components. One is we put people's money back into an account that they own. It's an escrow account. It is for contingencies such as health care as well as disability and other disasters that can befall them. The escrow means that the money has to go to one of those contingencies. They can't go and buy a pickup truck. And then also the other part of that is to create a way to make people informed consumers where they can evaluate the cost effectiveness of all of the options available to them. Now, as a physician, I've been very fortunate. First of all, I've never had health insurance. I have a family of six with my wife and I, and my children have grown up, my father, and we've never had health insurance, but years ago I set aside active. And whenever I need to buy anything for health, one of my family needs to have, for example, going to one of the expensive possible admissions, as an informed consumer, I'm able to go to the hospitals and bargain with them, find out exactly what is paid to them by the insurance companies or by Medicaid, and make them a reasonable offer, and 9 times out of 10 it's accepted. Now, I can do that because I'm a physician. I understand how the system works, but if we could make everybody able to have that same ability to bargain by providing them with counselors, with people who would advise them not only what is best for their health, but what's also best for their pocketbook, and give them the ability to save their money so that it grows, that $800,000 on average, the average family would only spend about $200,000 of that on health care. Let's say they put another $100,000 in insuring that amount against the catastrophe that is beyond what they have in their account. So if they get $1 million health care cost, then that is essentially reinsured, and they have to pay for that. Most families would save more than $200,000 by the time that they retire. And on top of that, the employers would save, because you don't have to put $500,000 rather than the $800,000. That's all you really need to cover your contingencies. So that means we have a way of reining back the cost of American health care by more than 30%. And at the same time, returning to people the control of their health care, giving it back to them and their doctors, and giving them the incentive to make wise choices, and give them the reward of those right, wise choices in the form of a substantial savings that they can pass on to their children.
I agree with you totally. We need an alternative system. What sort of reaction are you getting to such a suggestion?
Well, it's been really interesting. You know,
Hold that thought. We're going to have to bring some of our stations back on board. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Pendick is simply saying that the whole system is set up wrong. Basically, a family of four, well, about $20,000 a year, your contribution, your employer's contribution, over a period of 40 years, you're talking about $800,000. You would be a lot better off to put that money and invest it otherwise. And, of course, what he does, he has a catastrophic hospitalization insurance policy, which is important, certainly. You need something in case something terrible comes, but these policies are not that expensive if there's a large deductible and they can go up to $1 million. And basically, of course, then, of course, before he, either he or the members of his family goes in the hospital, he goes and talks to the hospital and makes them an offer, and he says 9 times out of 10, the hospitals would accept the offer. And you can do this sort of thing with your hospital. I know my son went down to the emergency room one time, had some respiratory problems. He really didn't need to go in the emergency room, but the ambulance insisted, and I think it was $3,000 or $4,000 a bill there for a couple of hours in the emergency room. And he just went to the hospital afterwards and bargained with them, got the price down to something that was simply suitable. And the people at the hospital know what's going on, and they know how corrupt the system is. But Dr. Fennick is saying we've got to get people involved in paying for their own health care and concerned about their health care. Pick up the story, Dr. Fennick.
Well, you know, obviously, that's wonderful for those of us who are employed and have the ability to put in put money into a savings account each year. Each month. And obviously, for any healthcare system to work, we have to answer the question, what do we do with the people who have terrible diseases that they cannot possibly afford to pay? What are we going to do with the people who are indigent, have badly injured, or whatever it happens to be? And the other half of this program has to be a system of compassionate care. But here we've identified the way of funding that compassion from the savings that are made through the system. You know, if we look at the current cost of healthcare in the United States, it's about $2.8 billion a year.
How much? $2.8 trillion?
$2.8 trillion.
Yes,
a year.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Okay. $2.8 trillion.
And if going, and according to the government itself, the Auditor General from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, it's going to be $4.6 trillion by 2020. It's a 70% increase. And actually, that number is grossly inadequate because it doesn't include the 15 million people who are going to be brought on board additionally by the Medicaid expansion. But be that as it may, of that $4.6 trillion we're going to be spending, the moral outrage of that is that so much of that is overhead. Of the current $2.8 trillion we're spending now, we're having over $1 trillion goes to overhead. And that waste is about 5 times as much as we need to give one of these personal accounts to every single one of the 23 million people who've been identified as being unable to purchase health care insurance. So despite the fact we have the world's most expensive health care, we still aren't even meeting the basic needs of our poor. And in addition to that, we are impoverishing literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who that $20,000 a year makes all the difference as to whether they are able to look after their families, not have to run that second job, be able to spend some time with their children, and essentially achieve the American dream. So the idea that somehow we have a compassionate social program completely ignores the penalty that we have not only on our poor, but on our middle class, who are being depressed into dependency, and also that the tremendous burden that we're placing on our children. Of the $4.6 trillion that we're expected to have, as you may remember, our president said that this would be there would be no new taxes, But despite the fact that we've found $500 billion a year in extra taxes on payroll and medical devices, there's still $1.4 trillion we have yet to identify where it's going to come from.
Well, the whole system isn't going to work, basically, because I'm old enough that I remember what the system was like before this. We had a lot of aides in the hospital. We don't have aides now. We have to have all registered nurses who spend all of their time suddenly filling out paperwork. You used to be able to get a back rub in the hospital. You got more chance of winning the lottery than you have of getting a back rub today. They've designed the system to fail. I believe it's done intentionally. And we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Fenech. We need an alternative.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean white with gold, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above.
This is Dr. Stan, our guest here, Dr. Fenech, and he certainly has put a great deal of thought into an alternative means of financing medicine, because the system we have today is going to simply collapse. The whole financial system is going to collapse. You can't keep spending $1 trillion a year more than you're taking in indefinitely, because pretty soon the interest rate has to go up, the government doesn't have enough money to pay the interest, or all the money that's coming in, by taxation is going to pay the interest, and there's no money to put up for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or all of the functions of government. And certainly the history of governments is they spend themselves into oblivion, and that's what we're doing. Well, Dr. Fenech, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get to your website, get your information if they'd like to know more?
Sure, thank you. My name is Lowell Fenech. That's L-O-E-L. Fenech is F-E-N-W-I-C-K. And I can be reached at lowellbennick@gmail.com. I also have, I'm trying to be modern here, I have a Facebook page for the healthcare program. And that can be reached by going to Facebook and typing in Lowell Fennick, L-O-E-L-F-E-N-W-I-C-K, M-D. And there will be summaries of and detailed explanations of how the system works, together with a number of recordings of presentations that have been made by myself and others. This has been presented across the country to a number of states, a number of governors and legislatures, and it has also been presented to organizations like the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, and folks at the Republican Governors Association. And generally, it's been met very warmly from the people we've been presenting it to, who represent consumers or legislators. Most of them recognize that the system that we have, as you pointed out, is terminal at this point. And the federal government, I think, has recognized that they now had a paradigm change. Their system was developed in the old industrial age when people looked towards their employers and their unions, and we're now in the information age. And the way that people buy things is entirely different. For example, who would have thought 20 years ago that our grandparents would have computers? I mean, back then, if you had to be a geek or a nerd, you had to understand how to do programming, or you had to be a university to be able to afford one of these monsters. And now, because the products have responded to be acceptable to people spending their own money, and the information is out there where anybody can go down to the local computer store or go onto the internet or ask the children or the grandchildren and get advice to buy technology that would be inconceivable. And essentially, we've made a system where it's as easy to buy your health care as it is to buy a laptop or as to buy, for example, a vacation, where one can go onto a website where everything is there. This is your home, where you have your account information, the money you've saved, your projected costs, your health care information, your personal information. Access not only to the normal information that we have on healthcare, but also the cost effectiveness of it. And then projections on what your health expenditures need to be for you to be able to have whatever level of savings you need to have. And from that, it puts people at the center now, where they control their money, they control their choice, they control the information, they control their healthcare, and they make the wise choices that empower the greatest economic engine that the world has ever seen, which is the informed consumer guarding their own money against waste and fraud and abuse.
I certainly concur. Well, we simply have to come up with an alternative. Would you like to take any telephone calls from listeners if they have questions?
I'd be delighted to. I'm going to just conclude with one thing and
go ahead.
Say that there is there's a tremendous amount of opposition to this from a small group of people. First of all, the government have recognized that their system has failed, and there's a rush to be able to foist this whole system of this illy named Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. It's the most cynical name, but nevertheless, this is going to fail. There is not the money, they have not identified where the money will come from, so they're in a rush to foist this on the states as quickly as possible. And their cohorts in this have been the health insurance companies, who have been their willing partners in this cartel to control health care. And they have just a few years before they are displaced by a national health care system. And they're assisted as well by the larger hospital groups, who have been really showered with blandishment to try and corral all of the physicians and clinics that were operating quite efficiently outside and bring them into the hospital system. So there's a tremendously well-funded campaign against the free enterprise system. But ironically, I've had a chance to speak to quite a few thousand people over the last year or so, And the people who, normal Americans, if this just rings true to them, they understand it. There's no mystery to it. They can see that it doesn't require 2,700 pages, not 20,000 pages of Obamacare to describe it. It's what they do in the everyday life with anything else. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
All right. I think it's vitally important that people understand that Obamacare certainly is going to have to have people in Washington, D.C. determining what the local doctors do. And because I see there's no way that they're going to be able to make this thing work unless they ration access to health care for the elderly. Certainly this is going on in England and their National Health Service. And they kill about 120,000 people a day, a year, I should say, 120,000 elderly people every year in England are allowed to die. Now, if you find that's a little ridiculous, why simply go up on the internet and type in British healthcare system allows 120,000 people a year to die, or kills 120,000 people. You'll find that's true. I've talked to people from England. Older people are afraid to go to the hospital because they know they probably won't come out alive. You say that couldn't happen in a civilized society. It not only could happen, it is happening. It's already beginning to happen here. Certainly they call it comfort care. They call them hospices. And many of the hospices, certainly the whole idea of hospice is terminal care. You're going to die, and so they're going to take care of you and keep you comfortable. Only trouble is all these people aren't necessarily destined to die. But, of course, unfortunately, there are people who do not value the importance of human health and human life as much as they should. We're on a downward spiral, and if we don't get involved, and if you out there in the listening audience don't get involved, then you'll have nobody to blame but yourself, when it's you or a member of your family or your parents that are going to be simply prevented from getting adequate health care because there's not sufficient funds. And remember, the government programs have to have the money to do this, and they will make sure that it works, even though it's their approach is a very deadly one. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. 464-8295 if you have a question, a comment. If you're concerned about what's happening to health care, well, Dr. Fenwick, certainly, well, what sort of response have you gotten from organized medicine, either at the national or at the state level?
There's a tremendous difference between the practicing physicians and the professional organizations that represent them. The American Medical Association, as well as many of the other professional organizations, have been supporters of Obamacare, and they have certainly been the recipients of a lot of the financial threats and encouragement along the line. But as you probably know as well as anybody, the vast majority of physicians are finding that every day it's becoming more and more burdensome. Their life is totally different from what they had expected when they decided to join the profession. They're spending more than 20% of their income is spent just in the back office administration, in getting permissions and approvals and payments. At the same time, they're spending more time actually recording their interactions with their patients than they are of being able to provide care, and the amount of time that's left for them leaves very little time for true care. It then becomes a rote procedure, and the whole relationship between medical profession and the community has now changed from being really a leader and a teacher to now becoming a government functionary. And we now have thousands and thousands of physicians who are leaving the profession, and we're seeing that a whole generation of bright young men and women who would have entered the medical profession as a meaningful contribution to society have chosen other options.
And how sad that is. I think that medicine is a great and noble and wonderful profession. I certainly enjoyed it thoroughly. I felt that it was a calling. But I would not want to go into medicine today with a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. telling me what I could or could not do for a patient. And so I think that we're going to see basically the progressive destruction of the practice of medicine. As far as medical organizations, I certainly was within the California Medical Association. I was a senior delegate there from my county for well over a decade. I took on a program there. I eventually, over the opposition of all of the leaders of organized medicine, brought the entire House of Delegates around to my position. I sat there for 15 years. Only twice did I ever see a standing ovation for a doctor, and I was one of them. And yet it didn't matter what was good medicine, what was good for patients. The leaders of organized medicine had their own agenda, and as a result, millions of people have died, not only in America, but throughout the world. That's a subject for a different evening. Anyway, our guest, of course, is Dr. Fenech, and if you have a question, why don't you certainly give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. What do you feel about the practice of medicine today? Do you find increasingly that the doctors certainly, they're so busy, they sometimes don't have the time to put in with the physicians, with the patients? And then, of course, when you get into the hospital, is there anybody out there in the listening audience who's had a back rub in the last 20 years? I remember talking to the administrator of the local hospital who probably 25 to 30 years ago told me that you had more chance of winning the lottery than you had of getting a back rub in her hospital. And she didn't like the way things were going, but there was nothing she could do about it. What about the people at the hospitals? How do they feel about your suggestion? Have you had a chance to talk to the people from either hospital directors or people from the American Hospital Association?
Well, the hospitals are in a very difficult position now because as part of selling the Obamacare program, the federal government made huge promises that are temporary in nature and also unsustainable. And one of the groups that they needed to bring in, apart from the hospital, apart from the medical leadership or the medical organizations as opposed to the medical rank and file, was the hospitals. And the long-term goal being to corral all of healthcare into controllable units, the accountable care organization, whereby the hospital consolidates all of the primary care physicians, the X-ray the clinics, the laboratories, and such like, and brings those services under the control of the hospital, has really facilitated the ability to have a single point of responsibility and government control, which has been a large part of the goal from the beginning. And in order to bring that consolidation, the hospitals have been given an unrealistic ability to charge far more for procedures done in the hospital than that same procedure done outside. And based on that, they've spent billions of dollars building more facilities onto the hospitals and bringing in these outside facilities. Now, they are beginning to realize that the federal government is making empty promises. They simply do not have the money to be able to sustain this extra cost. And this was indeed just a temporary incentive to bring about this organizational change. The hospitals have been very, very anxious to ensure that Obamacare is not repealed, to make sure that state insurance exchanges are implemented, because that state insurance exchange, despite its name, is one in which the state gives its power over to the federal government and essentially walks away from the state's right to control health care, and the state hands that capability over, giving absolute control to the feds. So there's been a tremendous difference between the traditional role of hospitals to where they are now have become partners with the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yes, but of course, when you're their partner, you may start out as their partner, but before long, you're going to be their servant. It was 48 years ago that they lied to the doctors, they lied to the hospitals, and they lied to the patients. You know, there's no problem. We've got plenty of money. This is basically sound. It's only going to cost us $9 billion a year. They started out 1965. They said by the year 1990 was only cost $9 billion a year. Well, of course, it ended up up, costing about $90 billion a year by 1990. Today, it costs probably certainly of $600 billion a year, and the sky's the limit, of course, as they expand this in Medicare now, between Medicare and Medicaid. Why, it's about $100 billion a year, and the sky's the limit. I would think that people would remember, but I guess, you know, what advantage you have growing old is you can remember how they lied in the past, and they're lying again. But I think most of the people, hospital administrators, weren't around 48 years ago when these programs came in. I have that advantage. In fact, I was around long before you graduated from medical school there in South Africa. Well, anyway, Chris, what is the message you'd like to leave with our listeners, and what can our listeners out there in the audience do to help you get this message out?
Well, you know, thanks for the opportunity. The message is that we do have an option. There's been a great deal of hand-wringing in all of the states and the state legislatures that has been prompted by the insurance industry and the hospital industry, saying, you know, we really have no choice. We have to obey Obamacare. It's the law of the land, and we just need to, you know, it was declared constitutional by the Supreme Court, and if we were hoped for to be repealed, we lost that election. And the point is that none of that is true. The law of the land is that the state have control of health care under the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, not the federal government. And the Obamacare was not declared constitutional, only the parts that said that the federal government can tax the people who do not buy the insurance through the federal exchanges. So we have the ability now, collectively for the states, there are now 25 states, now 26 states, who've decided not to go along with the federal blandishment to establish state health insurance exchanges.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Go right ahead. You were saying 26 states, 27 mm-hmm. states that said they're not going to go along with the program. Go right ahead.
We really now have the a very clear direction that was offered by Chief Justice Roberts, who said that, in effect, that the independent sovereign states have the responsibility to resist the incursion of federal programs that are not constitutional. And
did he actually say that they have the right to resist them if they're not constitutional?
What he said was that. And I'd have to look up the actual words over here, he said, first of all, that the federal government does not have the power to tell people to buy health insurance. I'm looking to take a second to look up what I had over here.
Oh, that's go right ahead. I think that's fascinating. I've never heard that before. Go ahead.
It did say that the second thing was a very clear description of how the states had the responsibility to resist federal blandishment. And I'm trying to remember the exact wording, but if the states did not want to voluntarily accept one of those powers that are, you know, that are reserved for the states, they simply need to resist the federal blandishment to accept them. And they said by the simple expedient of resisting those federal blandishments. Now, the other part that I felt was encouraging was at the same time that they made this very narrow decision over the taxing authority, they pointed out that the states were sovereign and independent and needed to behave like that. They needed to act like that. And I saw that, and I think that many, many people saw that, as essentially saying, well, you asked us to rule on this very narrow issue. Now, bring back a case that rules on the state's right to retain to themselves the right to control health care in their states, and bring that back to the Supreme Court. And we're seeing that now there's a lot of discussion. It was just, I think, this last week that the state of Oklahoma decided that they were going to essentially, at least the House in the state of Oklahoma decided to nullify Obamacare altogether. It still has to go to their Senate and to their governor. But we also see that there's
hold that thought for just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Fenwick has brought up information I had never heard before, and that is that in the Supreme Court decision, we were told, or certainly the Supreme Court held, that certainly that Obamacare was constitutional, and as Dr. Fenwick points out, why basically they declared a very narrow decision on one specific issue, and that was the ability for the federal government to tax, but there was much in the Supreme Court decision that you never heard about, talking about states' rights, talking about the fact that the federal government did not necessarily have the right to do what they were doing. We're going to have to look into this a great deal more, Dr. Fenwick. I hope maybe off air I could give you a call and we could go over this personally. I think it's a very important issue, and certainly if you think that there are means by which we can effectively fight this, why we need to do that, and we need to get that information out, and certainly the networks we have are at your disposal. I want to thank you so very much for being with us again. Thank you so very much, and look forward to talking to you in the not-too-distant future.
Well, thank you, and I have my hand on the information I wanted to give you. If you'd like to give me a call, I'd be happy to email it to you, and you could have it available, and if you'd like to have a discussion looking at the legal side and the constitutional aspects of this, I'd be more than happy to have a conversation sometime.
Well, we will definitely plan on it. Good night. God bless. And thank you so very much.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Fenwick, and I learned one reason I enjoy doing what I do is because I'm learning all the time, and certainly you're 84 years old, it's exciting to learn new things. Certainly doing talk radio keeps my mind busy, and basically I hope you enjoy the programs we have. I hope you enjoyed Pastor Billy Crone this evening and his dissertation, certainly, on what's going on today, and how we are really seeing end times prophecy coming to pass. Then, of course, Dr. Fenwick, I think his points were very, very well made. We're entering into a healthcare system that is doomed to failure, and they're going to kill off literally millions of Americans, elderly, with this program they have, certainly in England, where they have probably between 40 and 50 million, depending upon whether you include Scotland and Wales, or whether, because you just take Great Britain itself, 40 million. But basically there in their healthcare system, they intentionally kill off 120,000 people every single year. The elderly are simply brought into the hospital and killed. But don't take my word for it. Go to the internet and simply go to your Google. Type it in. If you have problems, check with me. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with genocidal programs or as a population control agenda. If you haven't heard my talk on population control, the covert agenda, you need to get it. My talk on planned population reduction, my talk on Nundare College genocide, that's my, these are all on DVD. The first one is Population Control Agenda, Nundare College genocide, and planned population reduction, three talks we have. You need to read my Population Control Agenda monograph. You can get that on the internet. You can get that at our website, radioliberty.com. Just go to radioliberty.com and scroll down to where it says Population Control Agenda. Click on that, or you can find it on Google. It's one of the best things that's available on population control. I wrote it 15 years ago. It's somewhat out of date. And yet, of course, the genocidal programs are being practiced today. They really do intend to kill off billions of people. They've already killed several billion, prevented their birth. They know exactly what they're doing. They've killed, aborted 400 million in India, 400 million in China, 400 million in Russia, 54 million in the United States, 4-12, and of course then throughout the rest of the world, probably close to 2 billion people. They know what they're doing. Part of a carefully conceived program financed by our great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford, intent upon destroying massive numbers of people throughout the world. And behind this are powerful spiritual forces that hate humanity. Our number 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Please pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision protection, and pray for Barry Shamus, too. Good night.
Show. It is 19 March 2013. It is Tuesday. You're in the right place. It's all about, well, if you're listening to television, it's all about the agenda. No kidding. Everything's just fine. You've got to do this for your own benefit. You want to hear what the next thing is they want to do? Are you ready for this? Duct tape handy? They want to open your packages from UPS and FedEx. That's right. They want, in fact, UPS and FedEx to open the packages. Oh, you can trust anybody that goes into your package. It'll all be there, right? What are they thinking and why are they doing this? When will I tell you the reason why they need to do this for your own benefit? One little string at a time. Meanwhile, everybody's watching on television the new Pope and Jody Arias. Thousands of hours of television time.